Hi, my name is Shiva.
And I'm Jazz.
And we are Two Girls, One Crime Podcast,
where we give you the facts, the theories, and the tea. Hi guys, and welcome back to another episode of Two Girls and One Crime Podcast. Today is the season finale, and we are going to end off this great season with Luis Gravito. Is that how you pronounce it? Gravato?
I think it's Gravato or Gravito.
Probably that more so, that second one. So I'll let Shiva take it off.
So this was my pick only because I was looking for, I literally went into Google, when Jazz asked me who I wanted to do, and I typed in most serial killer victims, and he's at the top of the list. He has the most confirmed serial killing victims. He's in the Guinness World Book of Records. He's in the Guinness World Book of Records for having the most confirmed serial murders. So that's not to say that he's killed the most people, but there are the most people that tie his DNA evidence to little kids. Mm-hmm. And I think that also makes it more surreal, is the fact that he was killing boys in between 6 and 16 years old. Mm-hmm. Luis Garavito, he was a Colombian rapist and serial murderer. He was born in Colombia January 29th, 1964. I think it's 1964 because he's 64 right now.
January 25th, 1957.
Okay, so January 25th, 1957. I apologize, you guys. He was born in Colombia. His mother was a prostitute who was abused by his alcoholic father. His mother and father still remain unknown. I guess because they weren't important in his life. Because also, he ran away from home in between the ages of 6 and 8 years old. So, I want to stop here because, like, I want to, like, kind of emphasize the fact that this person left his home to start taking care of himself between the ages of 6 and 8 years old. And I want you all to think about what you were doing at 6 or 8 years old.
Definitely not trying to run away. That's for sure.
And so the more and more research that I did on him, come to find out, his father would make him watch his mother engage in sexual acts with her clients as a prostitute. And then he would also sell him off to those clients to be molested and abused. And I think that's very interesting because it plays a part into why he picked the victims between 6 and 16 and then how he went about dealing with them. And so that's what really led him to leave the house. And so at 8 years old, he was... basically, he was propositioned by an older gentleman who was saying that he would offer him money. Now, me just looking at what was going on in Colombia during this time, there's no way that a man was just walking up to a six-year-old boy and was like, I'm going to offer you some money. I think that at that age, those young boys are definitely open to prostitution. And this is no shade on them. This is just the socioeconomic standards of living there during that time. And he was offered money. So he went home with this man, and then this man ended up raping him. And so after he was raped, he ended up joining a street gang which he was able to get protection, food, clothing from robbing and assaulting people in the neighborhood. And so one of my biggest questions was, like, do you think that the grips of drug abuse are so deep that, like, you start to sell off your child?
Yeah, you don't care about nothing except getting drugs. Because we see that in America when, like, crackheads would steal anything just to get some crack, just to get $5. So I would assume it's probably worse in Colombia because, I mean, Colombia isn't, like, known for, like, its richness. You know what I'm saying? So it's more poverty over there than it probably is over here. So I can only imagine. And then I think prostitution for boys is, like, high over there anyways.
Really?
I think like that in Brazil, I think they have like a, like it's more, their prostitution is more like boys.
Men,
like
older women. Oh, mm-hmm. Wow. My mom actually told me that. She told me because my mom has been to like a lot of these third world Hispanic and Latino countries because she speaks Spanish and she just has an affinity for Latin and Hispanic people. And she said that when she was in Colombia or Cuba, one of them, and she said that there was like a lot of men like walking up to her propositioning her and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was just like, huh?
Yes. Yeah.
That's weird to me.
Yeah.
But, you know, it led me, like, it, I don't know, it just had my mind really running on how is it that someone would even be able to fathom at 6 years old to know to run away and to be on the streets. Like, how does someone know how to fend for themselves at 6 to 8 years old?
I mean, I don't think you do, but he was the oldest of 7 kids, so he probably already has some more responsibilities at a young age. And then I just think, shit, people got that fight or flight, and he flight. Got the hell out of there.
Well, how do you think that, like, being, like, in those situations, being the eldest, having a prostitute for a mother, being molested, being abused by your father and random men, like, how do you think, does that mature your psyche, or does that just impair it and create trauma?
Both. I think it indirectly matures you. I don't think you realize that until shit start happening to you, but then start happening to you, it's too late to try to will it back. So I think both, because, I mean, a lot of people have to grow up too early, and if you've already been exposed to sex super early, 9 out of 10, you're going to be a super sexual person or overly sexual or a sexual deviant. More than likely, that's always the case. Mm-hmm. And because Colombia always got some shit going on. They've been having a shit going on for a long time.
Yeah, and, you know, I have a lot of questions just about his childhood development, because this is a part of childhood development that I really am intrigued by. I'm hyper intrigued by the part of childhood development where they talk about the things that happen between the ages of 4 and 8.
Which is that pivotal years.
That shape your the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. Not just the beginning, mm-hmm. not just being a teenager, not mm-hmm. being in your 20s. A 60-year-old is acting out on the shit that happened to him between the ages of 4 and 8 years old.
Yeah, because those is when your brain is still developing.
And that's scary to me. I think that it's scary to think that a lot of the people that are predatory in this world had something happen to them that could have been prevented.
Right. I mean, just like Ed Gein, with how his mom acted, it's the same thing it's different. Like, when an adult experiences, for example, say he was 18 when all the abuse and shit happened. It wouldn't have affected him as badly as it did when he was a kid. Because a kid, your brain is a sponge. So one little tear, it's over. You can't sew up no sponge.
And so he was active between the years of 1992 to 1997. Now, around that time, Colombia, and I know Argentina as well, were having a civil war. I'm not sure what was going on with that, because, like, I feel like the anthropological side of my brain would have gotten lost in that, and then this would become about that and not about him. Just because I'm sure that's probably a myriad of a lot of different things and contributions to why these little boys were able to, you know, go kind of basically unlooked for and unchecked for almost 10 years. He killed anywhere between 138 to 300 boys. Mm-hmm. And I think that's another thing, too. And I think me and Jasmine, they kind of like hinted on this in earlier episodes where we were kind of just inquiring, why is it that children are able to go missing and get murdered at this rate and nobody does anything? That is so fucking crazy to me.
We talked about ageism when we did the Lane's Angels of Death. It's the same thing for kids. If it was teenagers, maybe, because that's when they could start working. So that's maybe people, you know, society would care more about them because they could start working. But when they a kid, they don't really have no... They ain't really did enough for society, air quotes. Just like old people. Once they get a certain age, people don't care about them no more. Especially if it's like bigger shit going on, like a civil war. It probably was like, shit, maybe it's the opposing side snatching kids. So it could be anything. But my thing is, did he know that this was going on? And that's why he did what he did, because he knew he would get away with it. Or he was just like, fuck it.
I think it was a little bit of both. I think because of what happened to him, he was able to project that onto other people, and I think he was smart enough to understand. But, you know, this is another question I have. Well, all this intelligence that serial killers have, why don't they put that towards something else?
That part, because I would like for psychologists to analyze and research the connection between a person who sexually assaulted or something tragic happens to them, and they do that to people. Because most people that were raped and seen a whole bunch of wild shit,
they don't
do that.
Out and do that. Yeah.
So it has to be something. So, like, it has to be, is their brain different? Like, can you look at somebody's brain at a certain age and be like, they predisposition to start whacking niggas at a certain point?
I don't think, I'm sure if they could, they would have already used these people to their advantage.
Because, like, I don't understand, like, the connection. Because if I was... Like I said, a lot of people were raped and sexually assaulted and abused, and they grew up to do none of that just because of what they've been through.
Yeah. They might have emotional issues.
Right.
And they might have mental health issues. Right. But they're not to that extreme.
Exactly.
And another thing that I wanted to kind of inquire about was, I think we would have to get into like the socioeconomics of Colombia, which I don't feel comfortable doing because I don't know as much. But I just think it's odd that like these places like Colombia and Argentina, even United States of America, have so much money for war and so much money for guns and policing, and you don't have an infrastructure in place to help the little kids who parents are getting killed.
They don't care. Just like now, what's going on with ICE? Them folks, them people, like they people. I don't why people don't care. I have no idea, but they don't care, especially in like countries like that where it's so much poverty. It's probably in their eyes too much to even handle and focus on to be able to help people. Because I'm pretty sure all these countries have some type of something in place to help, but probably not the kids who's super, super duper poor.
Right.
Because it happened to him, so shit, he probably figured, shit, I can do it to other kids. It happened to me.
That.
And he had both of his parents in the household, so that goes to show you.
Two parents don't mean shit when they're dysfunctional.
Exactly. Because, I mean, for him to have been introduced into all this by an older man, and then he did the same thing with these boys. Like, it says that he would, like, dress up as characters to gain the trust of the boys. He would dress up as an elderly man, a priest, a drug dealer, or a farmer to attract younger boys.
You know what? This made me... For some reason, little kids being abused, like, it does something to me. I have a spiritual experience every time I have to process this type of stuff.
Right.
But I was just thinking, it was just like, well, what? Because what I think I'm trying to do is I'm trying to fit what's happening to these little boys into my spiritual belief system. So if I believe in reincarnation and I believe that, like, your life now is based on what you do now, but also based on what you do in the past, it's like, well, what does someone do in their spiritual, like, life to deserve being a little kid who's like raped and tortured and murdered?
Mm-hmm. That's $1 million question.
You know what I'm saying? And then what? Who was someone in their past life to get away with being a serial killer in this life? With very little consequences. I don't think that people realize that the pinnacle of why serial killers maybe don't want to be locked up is because they can't kill anymore.
Right.
It has nothing to do with them being isolated. It has nothing to do with them not having freedom, right, not being able to eat what they want. Like, those type of things are not intrinsically important to them.
Right. Killing is just like eating. They need to kill in order to live.
And one of my questions was, because this is one of my questions, but I kind of maybe like am running it back because now I'm in more of like a logical mind and not in an emotional mind, where I'm like thinking about the little kids and not thinking about the bigger, like the bigger picture. And well, one of the questions that another question I had is, why is this still happening today? Like, why hasn't the problem of people being raped, tortured, and murdered, like, I don't understand what's so hard about solving this issue.
I don't think there's a care to solve it. I mean, because you do need a balance of something, but I think the extremes of a lot of these crimes,
it's weird.
It shouldn't go that far, and it seems like the more extreme, the more negligence from the police, or the more that's not important from the police.
Well, do you think that? But I don't understand how that's not important when I know in places like Colombia, El Salvador, Honduras, they have MS-13, and they're putting all their money into, like, you know, getting MS-13. So it's just like, why is it an adult's criminality is more important than a child's innocence and homelessness? I don't understand. Let them niggas run the street and kill other grown-ups.
Right.
And, like, you know, maybe protect the children. So I asked that question to myself. And it says that most of the boys were, they were either homeless, peasants, or orphans, mm-hmm, which all mean the same thing to me.
Right.
And it says that he would come up to them, like you said, in different disguises and things like that and try to trick them. Mm-hmm. And then once he got them, he would walk them around for a long time to tire them out so they wouldn't be able to fight him. Which means that he was a pussy. He was not someone who had a lot of physical strength.
Right. And who knew what he was doing, who had a plan.
Absolutely. So that means it's premeditated murder. And once he tired them out, he would bind them, rape them, torture them, then cut their balls off and stuff them in their mouths while also biting and scratching them. But this is where I'm going to keep bringing it back to police negligence, because y'all going to hear me in 2020 about these police being negligent about crimes that actually matter. All of these boys were found in public places.
Right.
None of them were found in houses. None of them were found in bandos. These were in alleyways and fields and shit.
Right.
So you mean to tell me that no one heard a little boy screaming?
This is like people, kids probably scream all the time.
Huh? When have you ever heard, bro? When have have you ever walked down the street and heard a little boy scream like he being raped? I've never heard that before.
Yeah, same. I mean, I've heard something that sounded like a little kid, but I knew it was cats, because cats be doing, cats sound like kids sometimes, but I'm pretty, And then I think in other countries like this where, or just in general, if you live in like a really poverty-stricken, super high crime rate city or town, you probably mind your fucking business if you do hear something.
That's, I think that, like, this is where criminology comes into play, where it's just, like, the psychology of, like, criminality and, like, how, in order for people to preserve their horrible lives in the Laborio, like, trust and believe me, your life is not amazing in the Laborio. Like, in order to preserve your horrible life in the Laborio, like, you let little kids die? Like, is that the sacrifice we're willing to make as grown-up adults? For our shitty lives. Most of us are living horrible lives. Not me personally, but most adults who pay bills and work a job, a 9-to-5, they're living a life that they're not happy with. So it's just like, in order to prolong that suffering, you walk by a little kid getting raped.
Who knows? I wouldn't doubt it, though.
Because, I mean, think about the odds, though. Out of 300, think about if you're living in a neighborhood or living in a country, what are the odds that 300 people get murdered and nobody saw nothing?
Oh yeah, people definitely saw something.
That was where my mind went, which is like somebody saw something, and then they said they were finding lubricant and alcohol bottles next to the little boys' bodies. Nobody thought to do a DNA test on that. But if you found the bullet next to a body, y'all running the ballistics on that pronto.
Or so y'all say y'all do.
And then so they said that they started finding bodies in 1992, but that was at the height of the Colombian War. Mm-hmm. And then they said that they didn't start even taking inspective measures until 1997 when they found the mass grave. Which led me to another question. Does a mass grave implicate he was working with other people? Because how did one person like compile a mass grave of bodies?
If he was really that active, because he admitted to murdering as many, or as he admitted to murdering boys in almost 54 towns across the country. So obviously he was getting busy.
And that's what I was thinking. It was just like, cause when I wrote this, like I said, I was at the height of my emotions. But now that I've like sat and processed, I'm just like, this nigga was like killing people like drugs. Like, cause I thought about it, I was like, a cokehead would do coke more than 300 times within that time. Like, between 1992 and 1999, a cokehead has done coke thousands of times.
Right.
So that makes sense that if this was his drug, that makes sense. But at the same time, it's like,
how?
And then, mind you, there was also another Colombian. The second person on the list was a Colombian dude. The second person on the MERS murder, like the most victims list, was another Colombian dude who was active during that time. And it's just like, huh?
Yeah, I don't know what Colombia had going on. And I just don't understand how you ran away from your parents because X, Y, and Z was happening to you. Yet, not even 10 years into you being on your own, you already doing the same things that happened to you. So what was the point of you leaving? Because you left to get away from it, but you started doing it again.
And I did make a note of that where I was just like, I think it's funny how he literally is doing the exact same thing. It's almost like he's replaying that night in his mind that he got raped.
Right.
You got kidnapped, raped, and tortured, and you literally go and do that to 300 other boys.
300 to 400.
That's crazy to me. That's asinine. And then I asked another question about the Colombian Civil War. I was like, okay, well, y'all keep saying that because of the Colombian Civil War, that no one investigated it. But was it normal during a civil war for children to come up raped and murdered and tortured? All of these boys had significant signs of rape, prolonged torture, which means he was torturing them for hours, prolonged torture.
Bite marks.
And he was cutting all their balls off and put them in their mouths. I don't, bro, even in Rwanda, where, like, that was a civil war that I think of when I think of this type of stuff. Rape was happening, but it wasn't all this. Like, all
and
that
this one happened in Rwanda. They would have got whacked.
Oh, yeah. After three, it wouldn't. Yeah. You wouldn't have made it to, you probably would have made it to maybe 10, and then somebody would have came for you.
Over there, they don't play that if they find out. And then he said he admitted that he was drunk when he killed the children. That's the only thing he was doing. He was just drunk.
This nigga his trauma from that age, it just never went away. It literally never went away.
And he also said that his body was taken over by a superior being.
I think this is where we're going to get a little crazy. We're going to get a little loopy. I kid you not, Jazz. When I was reading this, I thought, I was like, this sounds very like some demonic possession
shit. It has to be. 400, almost Well, a possible 400 body count in 7 years?
That's not even human. That's, I don't even, but that's why I asked the question, like, did he have people with him? Because that almost seems humanly impossible.
Not if he was demonic. I wouldn't put it past him.
But he was working a full-time job, too. How are you working and killing people at the same time?
Because he got to, just like how you got to eat.
I'm about to do the math on this 365, 400. It's 365 days.
In a year.
In a year. Mm-hmm. And he killed almost about that. So let's divide that by, so that means a person a day. But right. That's only for a year, though.
All right.
So I wonder, like, now I'm curious. It was just like, okay, so how many people was he killing in how many different times?
And did he try to kill some people and they actually didn't die? Like, was a lot of them attempted murders?
No, I don't think. No, I think they were actually murders. I don't think there was many. It was only one attempted murder, and that's when he got caught, April 22nd, 1999. And a homeless man who was in the alleyway where he was trying to rape the boy heard the boy struggling, and he said he felt like it was his responsibility to save the little boy.
And it's crazy how a homeless person feels like that, but someone in a house,
someone with a house, a car, and job would not blink a fucking eye. And that's why you cannot fucking tell me that capitalism does not feed into this shit. I don't give a fuck what none of you people say. I don't care about all y'all hoodoo spiritual people who want to be super duper spiritual and have crystals but also want to super duper support capitalism. The two don't coincide, because one creates chaos and one creates understanding.
I don't know. And then even this article, it says that a lot of the boys were street children.
What the fuck does that even mean? What is a street child? Oh. Why is that even a thing?
And it's in air quotes, by the way.
Thank God.
A lot of the boys were street children that have been separated from their parents during the Colombia conflict, which began in 1964.
So this is my thing. Now we have to widen the spec. Think about all the people who have been victims of serial killers, rapists, torturers, and murderers between 1960 whatever to fucking 1999.
Right.
Because if he was able to get that shit off in 7 years, bro, and then the other dude was raping, murdering, and killing little boys too.
I don't understand. This one, you guys, stunned. I don't get it. I can connect the dots, but it doesn't make sense, because you ran away literally just to do the same exact thing that you were groomed to do. Literally the same exact thing, except you weren't killed.
This put me in my philosophy bag, serious, because it made me think, like, this, no, I'm not even trying to be funny with y'all. This really had me thinking, like, is the universe cruel? Like, does the universe care about people? Because I'm just thinking in my mind, I'm like, bro, how is it that you get abused, you get raped, you get fondled, you have a mother who's a drug addict, and you go out and project that onto the world? And right. It's like, what lesson does this teach us? I'm trying to find the lesson, because usually I can find a lesson in every murder we do.
Yeah, I don't know about
that. But it's like, what lesson does this teach us? Or is there just senseless evil in this world that we have to learn to accept?
I think it's a little bit of both. Because if all you was on was alcohol and you did all that, that means this is you. Because alcohol really don't change you that much. Drugs, okay, maybe. Maybe. And that's a maybe.
That's a huge maybe.
Maybe. But alcohol, all it's going to do is show the real you. So you...
Because it's not a psychoactive drug.
So...
That doesn't make you active. It makes you more depressed.
Oh. I don't know. This one stumped me, you guys. Because I just... It doesn't make sense. And then it was... As he got older, when he ran away, he met a girl, and he had a girlfriend who had a younger child who everybody says he was super nice to the kid. So I'm like, what happened?
And then they said that he was nice around his community too.
Right. So what happened?
How do you compartmentalize being a child pedophile murderer? What type of brain is that? What type of brain did that take?
Is it a brain?
And then too, I almost forgot this. So at the mass grave, or after they found the mass grave, they found in the field, they found like two or three little boys just laying there with the same MO. Bro, why was a note attached to one of the little boys that gave the address to where his girlfriend lived at? Huh? He don't seem like the type of nigga who was gonna tell on himself. Because when they caught the nigga, they caught him in...
So you think the girlfriend or somebody that knew him, knew where he stayed at, did it? Like an anonymous tip. Why does it go to the police, though?
Why would you leave a note on a decomposing box? Like, all of this shit is very supernatural to
me. Yeah.
Nothing makes sense to me.
You gonna leave your house, go to a graveyard of little kids,
and leave a note that gives the address to where his girlfriend lived. And then when the police went to his girlfriend's house, she was like, she hasn't talked to him, which I believe. Because when they found him in another town raping a little boy. She hadn't talked to him, but she let them in. Like, he left a bag. He left a bag full of DNA evidence, a journal that detailed 300 murderers. Like, and I was just like, what? That doesn't fit the profile of the person who was murdering kids.
So do you think she knew anything? Because there's no way a man leave a bag in my house and I ain't looking through it. That's one.
I think she knew.
And if he's doing all this to boys, there's no way he likes vagina.
This is such a curious case.
Yeah, because there's
that
no way.
I don't know what I have no idea. I find is in other countries, like, it's almost like they're on the opposite end of the spectrum of America, where they want to push everything under the rug and right. They want to, like, give people minimum amount of time. Like, they just want all of it to go away. They don't want to deal with it. And I think that's equally as bad as America, where they make you a criminal for the rest of your life and they, like, put a sign on your neck that says you a fucking felon and a murderer. So when he got caught, he was sentenced to... the judge sentenced this nigga to, like, 19,000 years in jail.
Yeah.
Or 1,900 years in jail.
Yeah.
But Colombian law only allows for criminals to be in jail for up to 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another law that keeps him from being in jail past 22 years. But since he committed a violent crime against children, he has to serve the maximum 60-year sentence. But they raised it from 40 to 60 while this nigga was in jail.
He's not getting out.
He's never getting out.
They gave him, I think, like 1,895 days. And then it was like in 2 days. It was like something super petty. Like, he's never getting out. He never needs to. They called him the Beast.
Yeah, La Bestia. A bestial or whatever, however you pronounce it.
I just want psychologists who, and I wonder if, like, these psychologists who analyze these murderers, if they have to, like, not talk about it, because why are they not writing books and articles?
But Jazz,
that would be interesting.
Girl, you hitting on something I thought about. I'm like, in what way is the system protecting these people? Because in every instance, the system is protecting the serial killer.
Yeah, like we want to know. Like, people, there's no way you can read this and not just be like,
huh?
How? Why? But if he did, because I promise you, the fact that you ran away from home because of this stuff was happening to you, yet you literally do it.
That's very odd.
Most of your adult life.
That's very odd.
And then you have a girlfriend through half of it. And you nice to her kid, and you nice around the neighborhood.
But then you go off into alleyways and rape and murder little kids.
And it's one thing to lure little boys and rape little boys and go home. That's one thing. Not only are you luring little boys, then you're luring, like, little homeless boys whose parents are nowhere to be found because of the war and shit. So they alone and vulnerable, one. You lure them with food and dressing up. You rape them. You biting them. Which normally when a serial rapist does it, they're doing that while they're fucking them.
Oh,
or
God.
While they're dead.
Oh, God.
Because they don't bite them while, you know. Sometimes they, some cases they bite them after they're dead just to leave a mark. But most of the time they're doing it in the act of what they're doing. And then for you to, after that, hopefully they were dead by this point. You cut their balls off and put them in their mouth.
I think that, and you know, I was just thinking, I'm like, I remember reading in I forget what book I was reading. It was talking about death and spirituality, but they talked about how, like, when little kids get murdered or when little kids have a traumatic death, like, hours before the little kid dies, God takes their soul out their body.
Mm.
And I think a lot, to be honest with you, the more and more I read about this treacherous shit that's going on in the world, the less and less I believe there is a real God. I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer, but I'm trying to be the nihilist realist that I am. And there's no way that your real God exists and allows these things to happen. And even in my mind, bro, when I was reading about this, I was trying to rationalize it. My mom was just like, this is all made up. Like, that's your, like, first reaction. Even as me, someone who's into, like, serial killers and all this stuff, is my first reaction was like, this is not real. This is not a real thing. These are just numbers. There's no way that 300 little boys were murdered.
I believe every time I read something crazy like this. Because people are crazy.
But then I thought, like, I thought about the seen and the unseen universe. And I thought about how all these things happen, like these rapes and child prostitution and all that stuff happens in the unseen universe. And that's why it's so powerful, because I feel like it activates and it works off of the fact that people don't believe that it's real. And people's disbelief of it is what lets it to continue to fester and become a bigger thing.
Right. And which I think, like you said before, helps the psychology. Hell, they might even, they probably didn't have a psychologist.
I didn't see anything about him being
psychoanalyzed. Just like anything, just like any conspiracy theory, because people are so, oh, that don't happen, or nobody would do that, that couldn't happen, oh, he was so nice, he wouldn't do that. I think that perpetuates the whole, like, let's not make a lot of stuff public. Let's not try to figure out why these killers do what they do, so that we can try to prevent that. Because my thing is, you're not going to be able to stop every serial killer and right. every murderer, every serial rapist. Right. You're not going to be able to catch them all.
Right.
But the least you can do is analyze, like how y'all be testing shit on monkeys, analyze these criminals and just see what triggers what. Because there are signs. I'm pretty sure anybody who has came in contact with somebody who they think are known to kill somebody, you can tell they done did something to somebody before. Maybe not a woman, men.
I don't think, to be honest with you, Jasmine, I don't think most people, their brains even are able to concept. Like, I don't think most people are even on the lookout. I just don't.
How are you not?
Most people don't think this stuff exists.
Well, I mean, a lot of people don't look into stuff like this, but I mean, and maybe just because I've always been interested in it, but I've always wondered how the brain works. And to be honest, by me being into true crime and murders was the reason why I like psychology, because it's like, I like this stuff, but I would never do none of this. So what's the difference between me and them? And granted, I didn't have any super trauma as a child other than like seeing a whole bunch of deaths. But so maybe that's the difference. Maybe if you have like a lot of trauma in the beginning of your life, then maybe, you know, you can go either way. I don't know. Thankfully, like I said, I never had, you know, because I can be dark myself, but I would never do none of the shit that I'd be reading about ever.
I feel like
I value people's life.
There are so many adults who will consent to wild shit that there's no need to go seek out children. That's what I've always thought in my life.
I'm like rapists. You can go buy some vagina.
But they rape them.
You can go, I mean, this is not to go down bestiality, but there's so many other things you could do than actually. So I'm like, that's why it's always about, most of it boils down to ego for me, because like you going out your way to hurt kids and you can go fuck a woman. You have a girlfriend. Why are you not, you know what I'm saying? Why are you not spicing up and getting, you know what I'm saying? Like you.
I think that at the pinnacle and at the peak of all this stuff, at the tippy top is shame. Right. And I think because we live in a shame-based society, people do not feel comfortable being who they are.
Right.
And I think that if he was allowed to be his vulnerable self and to heal that wounded child within him, none of this would have probably happened.
So how do you think one can release? I mean, because as long as religion is around, shame is going to be
a thing.
Yeah, so that's never going to go away. I think they created that just so they could try to box people in. Absolutely. But because I've always said, if there was, let's just say, if there was an island where we could send all of the rapists and murderers on an island,
it was
just
the Epstein Island. That was it.
So, if there was an island for that, and you could just send everybody to that, and they can't come off of that island,
why not do that?
You know what I'm saying? Why not do that?
Because that would be the most rich and powerful and influential people in this world.
Okay, so be it.
But I don't.
New civilization.
This is where the everyday person would fail. Because the everyday person has so much connectivity to those types of people
that they don't know nothing about.
They wouldn't allow that to happen. I don't think that they would allow that to happen.
Yet y'all are the same ones who be in such uproar when you hear about something happening to a child.
Do they really?
No, of course not.
Because these are the same people who let their kids get molested
and don't believe them.
But you're talking about some girl. Oof! Don't get me started. Please don't. I can't go down that hill.
And this is something I've also always wondered about serial rapists who rape boys. Because obviously you're homosexual, which is nothing wrong with that.
But why are not, you though? Because someone
because
anthropologists. This is where I think anthropologists and psychologists, and not between us, but like in academia where they don't see eye to eye. A psychologist would say that you are homosexual. Mm-hmm. An anthropologist would say that that's a result of your culture and that your sexuality and maybe your like primary orientation can be totally different, right. Especially if trauma is involved.
Right.
Because if, let's say, if you are a man who only rapes men, but all of your sexual, but all of your conscious sexual partners
are women.
And your cultural sexual partners are women, then you, in the culture and to people who know you, you would be straight.
Right.
And that's the only place that gender and sexuality matter is in society.
Right.
Because behind closed doors, nobody knows or really cares what you're doing.
Yeah, and that's the ticker. Nobody cares.
Nobody gives a fuck. I promise you.
And this is going to sound dark, and I'm sorry, but a lot of these countries, there are brothels that are specifically for people who like kids.
What?
Yes.
I believe it. Cause, oh, God.
So, again, he may or may not be homosexual. Cool, whatever. Probably right. wasn't. But that's even more sick.
Cause it's like, is, but that's the point.
You don't like men, but you rape little boys and enjoy it. But you go home and fuck your wife, your girlfriend.
But you know, there's a thing called ritual. It's called ritualized homosexuality. That's what we call it in anthropology, where your homosexuality it only takes place in a ritual setting. And to me, this sounds ritualistic.
That
if
makes
everybody
sense.
Has the same thing in liquor and lube, and like that's a ritual at that point.
Right. But a ritual for what though? And why?
You can ask like a cokehead that. You can ask a heroin. Like, okay, well, what and why? Why are you doing this?
But to go back to the Epstein shit.
Whew.
Since talking about ritualistic and all of that, pedophilia
is ritualistic in itself. Period.
It's very ritualistic in the dark arts. If you look up anything dark arts related, it's always sacrificing a kid because that's a virgin.
And purity.
So, I'm going to come clean. I'm not religious by any means. It's because it's not enough proof for me to believe that any of those people. And I just believe if those people were really walking around, we would see that again. Because if that's just how evolution works, everything repeats itself, we would see that again.
Absolutely.
So, that's one. Two, just as much as I can believe in multiple gods, I believe in the dark forces just as well.
Absolutely. You got to.
And I feel like people, low-key, people are worshiping that more than they worship the good. Because a lot of these religions and a lot of these families who are based in religion and go to church every Sunday and all of this really be on some dark time. And I'm going to go back to Catholicism because y'all the main ones
yes.
who... preaching and baptizing a little boy, but when you turn 7 and become a pew boy, you rape him.
But that's the ritual part. That's where it's like, okay, it happened to me, and this made me this man and this pope, so I gotta do this because he's gonna be the next. Da-da-da-da-da.
And then you get took to, you know, whoever is in charge of that, and you come up with your crimes. You're not charged. You're sent to another state to where they don't know who you are, and you start doing it again. You're moved around.
But I think it's important. It's important when we talk about this to drive home the fact of how society and culture feeds this.
Absolutely. Creates it.
Because when you think about it, think about all of our biggest celebrities. Once they turn a certain age, we don't want to deal with them no more, especially if they're women. You know, once they come out and they speak for themselves, we don't want to deal with them no more, especially if they're women. And I think that because men see how women are treated when they come forward for sexual assault, that's what creates the dynamic to where men feel like they can't come forward. And I think that, this is not the tit for tat, but I'm almost positive if there was 300 boys that he murdered, there was another serial killer out there murdering double the amount of women and nobody really gave a fuck.
Oh yeah, nah, they ain't gonna care about that.
Because they were probably already prostitutes and drug addicts.
And even if they weren't, they were whores anyways. Because a lot of people think, how did you get raped if you wasn't being a whore? That's in society, period. Not just America. A lot of people had that ideology where it's like, what were you doing to get raped?
But do you think that if a serial killer had never seen violent television, not saying like regular, like unrealistic gore, because that's not what fucks people up in the head. What fucks people up in the head is realistic shit.
Right.
You think that if serial killers were not exposed to that, not exposed to a society that was misogynistic, not exposed to a society that hated... sexual fluidity, do you think that they would be capable of doing what they're doing? Do you think they would feel restricted enough to want to act out that way?
Yes or no, just because I feel like at your core you are who you are regardless of what happens to you. That's what I believe. I believe we have a little free will, but I do believe our life is already going to be what it's going to be. We can just dictate how we're going to get to the ending, but one way or the other, the story going to end how it's going to end regardless of what you did. But I do think society... This is an American speaking also, because I haven't been to many places. I don't know the cultures of a lot of places. But just speaking from an American standpoint, America for sure breeds and nurtures serial killers and
serial rapists.
Heavily on the rapists. Cause I feel like there's more serial rapists than there are serial murders, but they don't care about that because
they don't give a fuck.
Because, you know, even by FBI standards, murder is the topest, is the highest, most violent crime.
But how rape should be. But how, when we look at the statistics and they don't catch but one every three murderers? How?
And rape, I feel like, is way more violent.
Because you murder me, I'm dead, bro. I'm not going to remember. I'm not going to wake up and have to go home to my husband and go home to my children. I'm not going to have to go to work every day. I'm not going to have to be around other men.
And not to mention how many women are get pregnant by this and have their children.
Girl. But think about, this is the thing.
What if he was one of those?
Obviously, he was a one of something.
Because his dad probably was pimping his mom.
Bro, his dad was pimping him and his mom.
All right, and supposedly she was like not a well-known whore, but like she was known as like a prostitute, like for in the whole like little town they lived in. And they had seven kids. So I'm just like, it would be interesting to see how his other siblings turned out.
But you know, I think that it's important to point out that Colombia is super colorist. They have a huge issue with Africans. And I'm almost fucking positive if we found pictures of all these little boys, they was dark-skinned little boys.
I didn't want to say that, but I agree.
Because he was white passing.
Right.
And in Colombia, he's white. He's not light-skinned.
So if that's the case, do you think it's more of a need to get a second, more of a being a sexual deviant, or more of him just being a racist and wanting to?
I think it was a little bit of both. Because Colombians are the type of Latinos that they can have a super dark-skinned mom and a brown-skinned dad and come out white like him. Mm-hmm. So there's no telling what his parents looked like and how that contributed to his mentality. But I'm thinking about society and culture, because after you were talking about America, that had me thinking, like, that's something I do know, because anthropologists love South America because it's so much going on.
Right.
It just made me think about how Colombia, just like Brazil, and that I would say 50 to 60% of their population is majority African. Mm-hmm. They just kooky. Mm-hmm. And they get treated as such. Mm-hmm.
Especially in Brazil, for sure.
So that's what made me kind of think. I think it's funny, and I think it's odd that these 300 little. There had to be more.
I'm going to, while she was talking, I'm gonna try to see if I can find a picture.
There just had to be more. I feel like there has to be more to this story, because there is no, and maybe this comes from our American privilege, where we can't fathom a life, right, or a world where 300 little kids go missing and no one blinks an eye. But there, I find it odd to believe, and it's hard for me to even conceptualize a country or a state, a city state, where there's no accountability for children. They probably don't even have pictures of the little kids.
Yeah, it's just skulls and stuff.
And so, like, I'm having to reconcile a lot of my own personal beliefs right now, just because I'm like, okay, well, how much of this is American privilege? Okay, how much of this is his trauma? How much of this is just how the world is outside of America?
I think all of us equal. I mean, cause I do think, and just from being a psychologist, but just in the
field.
You're
a psychologist.
Yeah, and, and philosopher and all this. Trauma snaps a person. It's very rarely that a person goes through trauma and they come out good.
Well, that happened to me, but...
You know what I'm saying? And even when that person is good, they have triggers and they are ticking time bomb. So that at any moment they can snap, but they're aware of that. I think that'd be the difference. But a lot of people, trauma happens to them. I don't know, because I don't know. And then part of me feel like, it's funny, I don't believe in coincidences. The war and all this is going on, like kids are being, you know... moved, and how are they lost from their parents and all this, and their parents aren't in a war, is beyond me. But the fact that kids are being separated from their boys
specifically,
being separated from their parents, one leads me to be like, okay, maybe I'm trying to recruit them, because they do be having kids fighting in these wars over there,
right?
So that leads me to believe that. And then two, it lets me to believe, just like how Charles Manson and all of that was recruited to do certain shit, maybe they got people over there doing that too. The CIA is heavily in Cuba and Colombia.
I would, to be honest with you,
because it's not making sense.
It doesn't make sense, but maybe that's the point. The point is that it doesn't make sense. And I also too want to give my perspective on trauma. I think trauma spiritually is meant for you to grow from.
Right. Right.
I do not think trauma is meant for you to snap and be a brat, because you know you're not getting this picture perfect life that the media told you you're getting.
Right.
So, whether it comes in this lifetime or the next, I'm one of them people I don't like to procrastinate. I'm going to just deal with it all now. And I've been through a lot of trauma that has me believing I'm on a spiritual journey. So I don't want for people to think that because they've been through something crazy, like you're gonna snap or you should be on alert for snapping. No, you should be on alert for healing.
Right.
And the more healing you do, the less and less you're triggered.
But also be aware that you can. So, because for me, when you know your triggers, you tend to be more, you move more consciously. You don't try to interact with shit that triggers you. And I feel like a lot of people don't realize or admit that they've been
through trauma. That's what?
That's the first thing, which is already creating another trauma because you...
In denial.
Which is terrible.
Horrible. It's worse than being in trauma.
That part. And then, so certain things happen to you consistently. Because most people that don't learn from stuff, it keeps happening. They keep, oh, woe is me.
Right.
And it's
right.
Like, oh, I keep going through all this stuff.
Right.
It's because you took your trauma instead of you trying to work through it. And granted, this is two mentally and emotionally strong women speaking. So we don't want to make it seem like everybody can get through it. Because some people can't. Like, this stuff that Zara been through, that probably can be through and vice versa. Who knows? But I do think... that as humans, we can control a lot of stuff that we think we can't control.
Absolutely. And that's the wickedest lie that I think this criminal justice and psychology system has taught people, is that your actions are out of your control. Some people's actions are out of their control. There are very few mentally ill people whose actions are out of control. And you know, the ones who are fucking schizophrenics.
Right.
And people who have actual imbalances in their brains.
And they know that. Right. And they take their medicine. They live a straight arrow life.
The ones who want to and the ones who don't continue to.
Right. Because we all have things about us that... Because like I said, for me to be interested in things I'm interested in, I have to be a little dark in some areas. But I embrace my darkness because I know the difference between right and wrong, and I value life. So I would never... Ever.
Yeah, I'm not interested in taking anyone's life.
Ever. Unless they're trying to take mine. And even then, I'm going to just try to hurt you for me to get away. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really don't...
I'm coming to this point in my life, and this is the nihilist in me talking again, y'all, so don't judge me. But where I'm seeing that there is no positive and negative, I think I've always known that. And I realized that, because of that, I realized the universe holds no prisoners.
Yeah.
And anything can happen to any of us, especially if we give the universe a reason to.
Right.
I'm not going to give the universe any more reason for this next incarnation I come into, where I'm a little black girl, adopted by some lesbian parents, living up somewhere, going to private school. I don't want no drama. So I don't want to ever put myself in a position where I'm going to do something that's going to negatively impact me. And this whole situation just brought me in a spiritual place, because when I don't understand something, I go into my spiritual mode.
Yeah, because it has to be a deeper reason, right?
Because there's no logic to any of this shit.
Right. And then for him to just be willingly confess, like, it didn't take him long for him to start confessing. He admitted that he was just drunk every time he killed somebody, which, again, to go back on that.
How do you get drunk and have an impulse to kill? That's crazy.
What are you drinking? Because I've been super drunk to where I either just get real quiet... or I'm somewhere asleep. I've done a lot of drugs. The most that's gonna happen is I'm gonna be talkative. I don't ever be violent when I'm fucked up.
Yeah,
I've
never had the impulse to murder someone.
Even when I'm driving, I be wishing this crazy taxi in my head, but I'm knowing not to do that.
Oh yeah, I think everyone has. But that brings us back kind of full circle to where it's like everyone has the same impulses.
Exactly. So if that's the case, what's the difference between? Okay, because we don't want to say this is not a podcast where we're trying to rationalize why people kill.
We never gonna be that podcast. If you're looking for that, go find one of them white girls.
This is not that. But what we try to do is try to open perspectives up, because it has to be deeper than I just wanted to kill somebody.
And the fact that we keep saying that it's not that deep is why nothing's getting done.
But it's obvious. If you first of all, maybe 5-6 people, maybe, okay. Almost 400 people you killed?
There's
And you literally did the same thing to each of them?
And then was just leaving your DNA. Like, you had no regard. Which leads me to believe that you knew you was never getting caught. Because serial killers in America are careful. And the ones who ain't get caught fast.
And very rarely, like I said, do they bite on them. Yeah, that's how you know he was having sex with them when he did that. So that's what that means.
I think that we have to stop victimizing and legitimizing like victims and perpetrators.
Please.
It has to be just a human. It has to be, this is a human experience, right? And this is a horrible thing that happened to you, but we're going to find you justice. I'm not going to sympathize with Louise, because I don't give a fuck about Louise, really. And yeah, I'm not going to...
You kill a kid, you get whatever comes. They should just shot him where he stood at. But
my thing is, y'all didn't have have a problem fucking killing parents and separating them from their children, but you want to take him into the fucking prison.
What is there? And then you question them. What is there to ask?
But do you see how we how even subconsciously adults protect other adults and just disregard children?
Because we feel sorry for them. Because, like, it has to be something wrong with them. No.
Who give a fuck? Who cares?
But if you've ever been around anybody who's mentally challenged, educationally challenged, they will be, like, the sweetest people who only when provoked do they get violent.
Girl. My thing is this. I've been in and out of mental institutions for a large part of my adolescent life, my adult life, not so much.
And how did the most violent people look?
There was none.
Oh.
All the times I've been to rehab and treatment, there might have been one or two fights.
Right.
Like, the criminally insane are not mean people.
Right.
Drug addicts are not typically mean people. They're right. Hurt people.
Right.
But people who are hurting for real don't go out their way to hurt other people.
If anything, they try to kill themselves.
Right. Or they become paralyzed because they don't want to hurt people. They become codependent.
Right. So I feel like when you said, was he doing it by himself, there had to be some type of government.
That was, girl, please.
It had to, because there's no way.
Please.
That all of this has had, these many boys, and it so happened these are the same street kids, or whatever the fuck that means, which, anyways, street kids who, all of their parents, they were dismantled from their families because of the Civil War.
I'm telling
no
you.
No coincidence.
This sounds genocide. Like, this sounds like that Argentina genocide that they did on the black people there.
Does it sound like, or is that what it is?
This is genocidal. I don't give a fuck what nobody say. I don't care what none. I don't
because
care about your
boys
opinion.
Are the ones who keep legacies going. So it's like.
And they create children.
Was it some gender? Or not gender. Was it some population control going on?
That's what they've been doing in Brazil for the past 50 years. Killing all the little black boys in the
just like in China, which we'll talk about that some season, because that whole we're supposed to they stopped doing, but I don't believe they stopped doing. They probably still doing it on the killing baby girls.
Are you talking about in India?
No, in China.
Oh, they was doing that in India too. Mm-hmm.
But that's a whole nother true crime in itself. But
government crime. We might have to have a whole season on government crime.
So since this is the last episode of the season, what do you want to leave people with regarding this or just anything we've talked about this season?
Personally, for me, what this season has taught me is that the universe holds no prisoners, like I said. And don't spend your whole life trying to be a saint when you can get raped tomorrow. And that's not saying that, because this is teaching me that good things happen to bad people every day for 7 years straight.
And they live the longest too.
And horrible things happen to good, innocent people. Purity and innocence does not protect you in this world.
All of this is an illusion. So we really just do whatever you feel.
Because either way, you either going to get caught or you're not.
Yeah.
And it's all, with this this rationalized to me, this kind of cut the cord from me thinking, like, do I think that the universe I've created for myself is loving and kind?
Right. You create your own universe.
Right.
You said it.
But when you step outside your fucking door,
you have no control.
You have no control over what the fuck is going to happen. Right. So what I say is teach your children that they are human beings. They are not children. Teach them how to fend for themselves. Teach them how to defend themselves. And also surround yourself and be in neighborhoods and be in circles where people would never let something like this happen. So this is where, once again, we get into the conversation of policing and things like that. Do y'all want to live in a narco state like Colombia? Where your little boy is getting raped on the street and nobody does anything because everyone's so scared of the local thugs? That's something I'm thinking about right now as someone who wants to reform police and reform prison.
Yeah, we have all of these organized gangs and just who don't think to just, instead of me trying to kill this other gang, let me go look on a wanted list of who raped kids. Let's go find that man.
And go turn him in for some money. So my thing is, what this has taught me is to think smart, not hard, and to think with and to feel with your heart, but to also understand the cruelty that this universe has within it, and to honor it, and to not act like it doesn't exist. Because I think that's when you get caught off guard. It's to not live in a realistic place.
I agree with everything you're saying. So how do people do that? Because it's rich for us, again, two mentally and emotionally strong and self-aware, intuitive women to talk about this. For the average person,
we'll averagely get murdered. I'm not trying. I mean, I'm just kicking it to you how the age of Aquarius gonna kick it to you. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to be funny, but
how does one separate themselves from the delusion of the illusion that society has brought upon?
To bring us back to Jasmine's point, a lot of times trauma is what has to do that for you.
Yeah, you have to realize we all been traumatized. First of all, if you're a person of color, you're traumatized because you come from slavery. That's period.
Yeah, your family then traumatized you. You then probably been molested. More than likely, there's some type of drug abuse issue in your family. If mm-hmm. it ain't your immediate family, mm-hmm. you're being persecuted by the public. Mm-hmm. You have a low paying job. Mm-hmm. You're in debt. I mean, so if you don't think that you have trauma, okay.
Life is traumatizing.
But that's what I was thinking about, though.
Existence is suffering. And that's a famous quote. And like some, I can't think of the text, but it's some spiritual shit. Text,
man, where
it's
like, fuck them Buddhists, bro.
Like, life is suffering.
Well, it doesn't have to be.
But is suffering good or bad? Because you can look at it like, okay, suffering is terrible. Well, it's going to be the suffering is like what you grow through. Because everything that is bad that I've went through, I came out a better or stronger person, I feel like. So I chose not to like look at it as suffering, but at the same time, I'm gonna say this. This has been a really transformative and great podcast season. It'll only get better. I'll say that.
Absolutely.
Two, I want people to stop being such nincompoops. Stop believing everything you hear somebody, air quotes, empower say to you. Stop believing everything that your mama or your grandma told you, because even a lot of them were misinformed. Start listening to your intuition. Oof. Start listening to that little voice in your head. We all have it. Mm-hmm. We all low-key schizophrenic, and if you're not, something wrong with you. Because if ain't nothing talking to you throughout the day. If ain't nothing talking to you throughout the day to steer you right or wrong, you already
lost in the sauce.
Period. But I also just want to say, hopefully this podcast has opened your mind up to not just new criminals and, you know, new shit, but open your mind up to the possibilities of, like Shazara said, anything can happen to anybody.
At any time.
Now, with that, do I feel like, you know, I do feel like when you're living your purpose or you're very in tune with yourself, a lot of stuff won't happen as it happens to the average person because you're aware.
Right, right.
And that's a gift.
Right.
And you have to work up to that point.
Absolutely.
But because all of these people that we've mentioned, something happened to them traumatic. Some were at their younger age, some was grown, and a lot of it was them being brats.
Absolutely. But I think too, there's a spiritual side of that. That's like, well, this might be their path. This might be what they're here to do.
Absolutely.
And I think that creates powerlessness for me, which I don't like. But it is what it is.
It has to be balanced. It has to be the good with the bad. And like you said, I don't necessarily believe in good and bad because everything's subjective. What's bad to me may be good to somebody, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like, you know, arresting a serial rapist or serial murderer is terrible. Shoot them where they stand.
It's pointless.
Shoot them where they stand. I'm very. And maybe this is like a past life of my, you know, but if I could take a raffle to stone some of these people we've talked about, including R. Kelly, because we'll talk about him eventually.
Yeah.
I would. I totally believe in capital punishment when it comes to you hurting innocent people for no fucking reason at all.
Who ain't did shit to you?
For no reason at all.
You know, I'm one of the people, I'm indifferent to killing them. I'm not going to say don't kill them. But I'm also, I think the curious cat in me is like, is there any way that we could just do more research on them? Absolutely. In order to find out more to help more people?
Absolutely.
Get
more women and people of color in these positions that's going to make a difference. That's one. Because psychologically, we just seem to be more humanized.
Trauma has humanized us.
So that's that. Stop having so many white faces and hands and stuff. Like the psychology, the criminal justice shit that actually matters and can change the trajectory of people's lives. We need to be more people that, not to say white people aren't normal, but
they aren't.
Oh, but people of color, more relatable people who actually give a fuck, not because they want to make money, because you genuinely want to help and make the world a better place. That's what I want to leave with everybody with. every chance, every day we get to be alive is a chance to make the world a better place, even if it's as a small scale or a large scale. You see something, say something. And don't wait till somebody in your family for you to care about some shit. Because we care about all these boys that died, and I don't know not one of them.
We don't even, bro, there's not even a list of victims.
The fact that he's even still alive in jail because nobody killed him in jail is crazy as fuck to me also.
They separated him from the inmate so he didn't get murdered. Why?
And even that, and even that, why? Why do you get, why do rapists, specifically rapists, why do they get to be put in the old people war where niggas ain't, like, why? Be in general pop.
Because this country and this society supports rapists. New merch dropping during Halloween.
Right, so stay tuned for season 2. And like I always say, see something, say something. Bye.
Bye.